Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, ladies and germs? Tonight is a very special night. Why? Because this is the final weeks of NXT before NXT TakeOver takes place in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. Where else, you know? Hour and a half outside where I live. So here's the deal. Tonight, NXT kicked off with a bang. Shayna Baszler in the women's division, showing the women's division exactly what they can expect. She did do some damage, and I mean she did some damage to poor girl's elbow. Somebody from the Mae Young Classic, I'm not going to say her name, because obviously Shayna Baszler just didn't care. She just went about her business. This girl's from New Zealand there. Okay. Kind of looks like a character from Tekken, if you think about it. She was in the 32-woman battle royal, or 32, not women battle royal, but 32-woman Mae Young Classic. Thank you. No, pardon me, just looking at the piece of paper. But anyways, Baszler took care of business. Ember Moon took care of trying to come to the aid. Like I said, I'm horrible with names. And I just watched it, too. Yes. So, tonight, you also saw Sanity getting ripped up pretty bad by the Undisputed New Era in the back, or top of the roof, wherever they landed. NXT is proving time and time again why they are the gold. The gold, the Midas touch. Everything they touch turns to gold. When you watch them, you see the development and how well they work together. And the Speed of New Era, that is. Roderick Strong and Aleister Black teaming for the very first time tonight to take on the Undisputed New Era for the NXT Tag Team Championships. Now, Adam Cole did get involved, and yes, I know there are other matches. Lars Sullivan basically destroyed Lio Rush. Some may say it was not a fair match or an even match, but honestly, it is what it is. Lars Sullivan, the bigger competitor, took out Lio Rush. Lio did put up a bit of a fight. Ended up not winning. So, here's the deal, folks. Tonight on NXT, you see why a lot of people favor their show so much over SmackDown Live and so much over WWE Raw. It's because the purity factor is still there. Now, granted, Shinsuke Nakamura, Asuka, all the graduates, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Naomi, Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso, to name names when they're on the NXT, do you think they're more explosive? To be honest with you, I got to answer this question since I've got an hour and a half left of programming.
Bullet Club 4444.
Apparently, one of my texts thought it'd be a bright idea. Oh, goodness. So, let's see here. Shayna Baszler made her debut tonight, so apparently it was her first match. Dakota Kai. Thank you. Couldn't read your handwriting, bub. Cassius Ohno versus Raul Mendoza. Ohno basically... he owned that match. It was a very, you know, even match until Mendoza hit him in the face. Cassius Ohno won by the pinfall. Corkscrew Andre, electric chair to be dropped, ropes, rolling elbow. Yeah, that knocked him out. That's for sure, man. Thank you for writing that in the notes. Lars Sullivan basically destroyed Lio Rush, and let me tell you, Lio Rush looked somewhat decent, but not even ready, so I guarantee you that's kind of what we're going for. So next up, you see Undisputed New Era basically made statements by beating and taking the tag team championships away from, of course, Sanity. They are one of my favorite groups, but I understand what direction NXT is going, because take a look at tonight, Undisputed New Era, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, the tag team champions, the current tag team champions of NXT. They are sending a message, you know, they're getting a lot of heat from the crowd, and that's what you're supposed to do when you come in, come all brash. Basically, they're the WWE's diet version of the Bullet Club. Basically, I mean, take a look at Adam Cole. He's the ringleader. He's supposed to be the annoying asshole, kind of like how Hogan was in NWO, kind of how, I don't know how Seth Rollins was the leader ever of the Shield. He didn't say much, but he was pretty much the architect, the one that basically ran group, you know? So I guess the end thing now for WWE is trios, and NXT, anyways, they have shown week after week after week why. So Johnny Gargano gets his number one contenders match, or not number one contenders match, he gets his title match. Let me rephrase that. He gets his title match in Philadelphia against Yamas Andrade. Zelina will be at ringside, so that's a factor. There's a factor in that match. So Johnny Wrestling, as Zelina put it, is not real. He's a lie. He's not a contribution to wrestling. I love her to death because she reminds me of Sensational Sherry. I say that because Sherry would get involved in the match most of the time, you know, get cheap heat from the crowd. Zelina's a little different. She doesn't dress in a dress. She dresses in, you know, tough boots or whatever. She gets do head scissor takeover. She gets involved in that. She's smaller than most guys, obviously, but I like the fact that they're giving the manager element a little bit of it in NXT. So what did I like overall about NXT tonight? You definitely had a build for TakeOver. William Regal came out and made a couple stipulations, NXT TakeOver in Philadelphia, that Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish would be defending their tag team championships against Insanity. Next week, before Philadelphia, there's a number one contenders match, I guess, actually a fatal four-way to determine who will go on to face Undisputed New Era, the new tag team, who just, I don't know, they kind of remind me of the watered-down version of Crime Time. But that's okay, because to be quite honest with you, I'm really satisfied with NXT. I didn't care about those two. But they are going to face the Authors of Pain, former NXT Tag Team Champions. I don't know how they're going to fare, but it's going to be interesting. William Regal is a man who makes very good decisions. He's obviously an authoritative figure. What do I like about NXT? Oh, yeah. Everything they touch just turns to gold. You watch it, it's captivating, it's an hour and a half long. Pretty much how wrestling used to be, used to just squeeze it all in. I mean, Shayna Baszler debuted tonight, didn't care. Although she did break someone's, or shatter someone's elbow, I mean, it's not supposed to bend like that, ouch. So poor Dakota Kai, she won't be competing for quite some time. That is, unless she's a part of the 30-woman Royal Rumble, which I see least likely, so. NXT, comparatively speaking, over the years, has had the talents of a Dean Ambrose or John Moxley back then, or Seth Rollins, Claudio, a.k.a. Cesaro. What makes NXT different than Monday Night Raw or SmackDown Live? Is that your question? NXT is basically like a college division for wrestling. College division of WWE. So once they graduate, they go to main roster. If you haven't watched it, my friend, you need to go to the WWE Network if you have it, and you need to sit down and actually watch through a majority of NXT episodes. If you're one of those that can't sit still, just watch one episode a day, and you'll go through it like crazy. There's been episodes in which, you know, since 2009, they had a Dale and Tommy at one point. They've had Colt Cabana for a brief hiccup. Sammy Callahan, who was Solomon Crowe. So what is the difference, my friend? Okay, instead of a three-hour window or two-hour window, you have one and a half, or an hour and a half to put on a damn decent show with probably five or six matches that'll take up most of the card, right? Or more. And in between, there's not much backstage action, and if there is, it's just, you know, an interview through which the interview gets to the point. And why am I doing an NXT review? Because I figured NXT is Wednesdays, and I need something to make my show just a tad bit different. You know, there's going to be a two-parter. There's going to be two-parters now from now on every single Wednesday after Off the Rails Uncensored. There's going to be Off the Rails Uncensored Part 1 and Part 2. And you know why? Because if you space things out, folks, it can actually become beneficial to both me and to you guys. And why? Because it's the new year. It's not a resolution. It's just how I roll. I like changing things up. I don't like keeping things the same. And for those of you who tuned in because you have nothing better to do, my condolences, because this show is based around people whom you are not familiar with. Some of you, not all of you, I mean, most of you recognize or appreciate Adam Cole, baby. Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. These are cats from Ring of Honor. They did bring the Bullet Club, or the, as I like to call it, the Diet Bullet Club to WWE. There's a piece of my heart missing. Not really. The Bullet Club's the most in thing. You love doing a two sweet symbol. Yes. I do for a variety of reasons, because once upon a time, there was the Click. Now, there's the Bullet Club. So that's the in trend, right? Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly have basically set the tone for how things are to be run in WWE NXT. Now, there's no longer a Shinsuke Nakamura back in NXT. There's no longer someone to set them straight. No, there's, you got your baby faces. Now, I guess Aleister Black, who used to be a heel, quickly turned into babyface due to circumstance, and not just circumstance, but come on. If you didn't see this coming with the Undisputed New Era, you obviously didn't see the fact that, or see on screen just how quickly the fans picked up on Adam Cole. Take one good look, or take one glimpse, whatever you want to do, into NXT's future. They are building people that needed building. Roderick Strong kind of needed an oomph, because to some people he was boring as fuck as far as mic skills go, but in ring, oh my lord, you cannot teach the skills that Roderick Strong has. They elevated Roderick Strong. They helped Aleister Black push his character even further. And, you know, they're Undisputed New Era, whether you love them or hate them, they work well within the lines. They push the boundaries when the boundaries need to be pushed. They are a good example of what a good trio does. Not like The Shield or Absolution or Riot Squad. Talking about them gives them acknowledgement, makes them popular. Fuck, I don't care. I can discuss what I like and what I don't like. And right now, the Balor Club, which kind of finally came on late notice because people have been telling their opinions, their feelings, their thoughts, their concerns about having trios in WWE. If you're too faction heavy, there's got to be ways to spread that out. But NXT does a really good job, I guess, of separating the factions and not making it too faction heavy. But then again, you have, I wouldn't call Authors of Pain a faction. Sanity, yes. Undisputed New Era, so I guess there's really only two, if you think about it. The tag teams, they need an injection of tag teams, and I'm glad that NXT has their group of partners. Johnny Gargano, again, there's also individuals in NXT. You notice that? There's, even though she's part of a faction, she's individualized. Nikki Cross. Then you have Vanessa Bourne. Then you have Ember Moon, Tessa Blanchard, Ruby Riott, and what's her face? Sonya Deville? I mean, I hate to say it, but I don't hate to say it. NXT has proven time and time again why they are the brand to look for. Why they are the brand that doesn't really need an introduction. Although they tried on USA Network and it was kind of a flop. But at the same token, when they went back to the network, they still had a lot of views. They had a lot of people watching NXT because you can watch NXT anytime. Can't watch it on Hulu, but you can definitely pick it up on the network. Which, again, it's worthwhile watching, just like the Monster Factory Network is worthwhile watching, because you get insight, you get details. That way, when you go there, you still have questions, but you still want to say, hey, I saw you guys, and it was amazing. That's the point of getting networks, the MPJW Network. Don't talk about getting it, just get it, because let me tell you, you want wrestling, you want to be wowed, you want to be captivated. T is not the only thing you can turn your attention to. NXT, however, though, is the premier, I believe, for WWE. Where do you think Finn Balor came from? Where do you think most of these guys came from? Where do you think Dawson and Dash came from? The Revival. Fuck The Revival. I mean, sorry, it's kind of forced habit after watching Cody Rhodes and Ring of Honor and Marty Scurll and them say it, so I guess I will cease and desist. No pun intended. NXT ratings-wise, you can't really state they have a 2.6 million viewer rating. But if you look at the numbers on the network on most watched, NXT is rated where? Number one. And there's a reason for that. Take a good look into the future, folks, where you will see guys like Lars Sullivan, where you will see guys, gals like Nikki Cross or Ember Moon. Ember Moon right now has to hold down the fort because they chose her instead of Nikki Cross. I don't care. This is the only exception to the rule where you will hear me be absolutely positive, which might scare you. I just look for people who can entertain the crowd, man. And so far, there isn't a name on NXT's roster, well, not the entirety of NXT, because there's two parts. Their name goes up in NXT. You get a nice little bio of your character in a program. Like back in the day, Husky Harris, anyone? Look at him now. He's headlining WrestleManias. He's headlining autograph sessions. I mean, he's by far one of my favorite people because he's working with Matt Hardy. No, it's because Bray Wyatt is somebody who can work. He can mic, he can work, he can do promos. He's an all-around. And where do you think he learned that? I got to do some cleaning of themes. And when I do, NXT will be a theme. And trust that I'm going to find a way to start reviewing more NXT, because it's the hot button issue. People really enjoy Adam Cole, and they can talk about his old matches. They can talk about his current matches in the E. That's a sliver of what he's done, folks. It's a sliver of what Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish have done. I can't tell you, you need to watch this, you need to do this, you need to do that. Because I'm not that type of bossy fan, you know. Although I am the guy that basically tells you every week that I am a broadcast journalist, because if you tie podcasting into the world of wrestling, now you become something like, or someone that's like the TMZ of pro wrestling. I don't have any dirty on Tyler Bay, except for the fact that he was the rebound guy of Liv Morgan. Not only that, he is one of the best wrestlers to ever grace the European section of WWE. And I cannot wait for him and Pete Dunne to get the call up from NXT, but I think there's a reason why. There's a reason why they haven't gotten the call up. Ladies and gentlemen, Pete Dunne, Tyler Bates, they're not guests on this show if you thought that's what was going to happen. What I was going to say is Pete Dunne, Tyler Bates, they put on one hell of a show every single time. It's like, wow. It's not match deja vu. It's what you call, holy crap, I'm actually being entertained. A rarity comes to the WWE. Considering they have 5-star matches sometimes here and there, but NXT has 5-star matches every Wednesday. Now, granted, sometimes it's dull, according to some people, and sometimes, well, it's never been dull. I mean, what am I talking about? You look at what NXT's done in the past. Undefeated Asuka. The sad story of Shinsuke Nakamura at the tail end of his NXT career with Bobby Roode, the rivalry that was supposed to last a ways, right? Now, people are calling for Shinsuke versus AJ at WrestleMania 34. I would say it's not impossible, but if you must know, folks, from what I tell you, please, Oda Real fucking listens. Fantasy matches are going to happen. It's called Survivor Series for the main roster. NXT, people want to see something, guess what happens? That match either happens 2 weeks from now, or it happens on the show. What am I referring to? Let's say there's a tag team conflict between, well, I don't know, randomized way of thinking, but Roderick Strong and Aleister Black. There's a good prime example. There's a conflict between them and Undisputed and New Era, so there's no build, really. Actually, there kind of was, but how do they present the result? They have a match right then and there. And like I said, thank you, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, for elevating Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong, I know a lot of fans are going to be giving me hell for this. He's boring as fuck. He really is, and he's gotten a little bit better. In-ring, like I said, you can't teach this guy. He has got natural, God-given talent. Same thing, you know, can be said for Nikki Cross. What is this? What does she have to do with the Undisputed New Era? This is the same person before the Undisputed New Era got there. She sacrificed herself go through the table at NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn during SummerSlam. So, Odorill, I'm not shocked at all that Nikki Cross is where she's at. She's at an elevated place in her career. Crazy Scott from Glasgow. Yep, I agree, man. If those of you want to send Instagram questions, you go to Wrestle_Radio or BTrain05000 because there are now two parts to this madness. Oh, yes, and I'm going to continue my rampage of what I was trying to explain, kind of rambled on, if you will. Yes. My perspective on pro wrestling as a whole and what I believe it to be, and I didn't get to open up all the discussion that I got 3 minutes before I hit off the rails on Censored Part 2, but before I do, congratulations, NXT. You've done a phenomenal job for the last, how many years you've been in existence? 8? You've produced talents like Jason Jordan, Chad Gable. You produced talents like, well, Lana, I guess. She's a good manager. I'm not really impressed by her wrestling at all, just being honest. You've produced people that basically have worked their way up. Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, Bayley, Nia Jax, Asuka, Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss. There's no limits to what NXT can do. And most of us know who helps run NXT, that is his love child. Triple H basically stated, we're going to go back to our roots. We need to go back to the independents and see what they can bring to the table. He's right. He is 100% absolutely right. Because what better, who better than to put in a euphoria because of not just tonight, but the previous nights and the nights before, and the nights before that, or the weeks before that. There'll never be a dull moment in NXT. There just won't. And this is going to be fun because I'm going to continue discussing good old B-Train's perspective of professional wrestling as a whole, not just as one business. You know, from a fan's perspective, from, you know, my perspective mainly. Because some people need to hear this. And I got 45 seconds to contemplate what else I'm going to say other than, you know, ramble on incoherently as I did the last show. So please, buckle the fuck up. I've got more to say. And, God, this takes forever, this countdown clock. I'm telling you, it's like watching the fucking ball drop. And I'm not talking about the city because I don't want to go down there ever again. Trust you may, I am glad that New Year's is finished, finito, and this is 2018, so folks, in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 3, 1... The cost of something I would be. I know your anger, I know your dreams. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cost of something I would be. So, continuing on, or building upon what I said last show, pro wrestling shouldn't be just from one person's perspective. Should be like one of those seminars you actually go to and actually pay attention to because they have something valuable to say. let me continue on from what I was saying the last previous show. Wrestling for me has been like a roller coaster. A lot of ups, a lot of downs, and mainly a lot of learning curves. I don't rehearse this shit, trust me, I don't write it down. For those of you asking the question, do I write my show down? No, I don't sequentially do that anymore because I can memorize the matches in my own head. Do I write the what I think of the matches? Yes, but I don't read word for word. So for those of you who ask the questions, I'm answering them now, just a little bit before I segue into what good old B-Train thinks about pro wrestling business as a whole. You have a choice. I have a choice. We all have choices. I've chosen to speak on how I feel. Some may call it impulsive. Some may call it, oh, you're just trying to feed your ego. Let's talk about ego, shall we? That seems to be the number one thing in the pro wrestling business. You got to have it. You have to have an ego to the point where you are either going to be loved or hated. I'm not saying intentionally make yourself to be the asshole in the locker room, but people, there's a trend. You can either be like Hulk Hogan, you can be like John Cena, you can be like Jake the Snake. You can be like yourself. In other words, that gets discussed around a lot. Sometimes, actually, it gets discussed around a lot. Sometimes would defeat the purpose of a lot, right? Ego, basically by definition. Okay, let's look that up, shall we? What does the word ego mean in the English dictionary? I do actually do have a pocket dictionary. Thank you, my friend. Ego, meaning a person's sense of self-esteem or self-importance. Now, the psychoanalysis part says the part of the mind that mediates between the conscious and the unconscious and is responsible for reality testing and a sense of personal identity. I think the second definition is what I am looking for because it's psychoanalyzing it, because the psychoanalysis is obviously saying the part of the mind that mediates between the conscious and the unconscious and is responsible for reality testing and a sense of personal identity. So in wrestling, I had to identify myself as the guy, the loudmouth, the guy who really isn't well-liked amongst everyone else because we're used to it. They didn't like anybody from the East Coast. Not only that, I'm not Paul Heyman. I'm not Bobby the Brain. I am not JT Davidson. I am me. I am Brian Rails. See what I did just there? You see what I did? Having a sense of who you are is part of professional wrestling. So establishing an ego before your gimmick gets unfolded. So in other words, I had help with the name Brian Rails. I don't want to go by my regular name. For those of you wanting to find out what it is, you can obviously find out through Facebook, find out through Google, and all that good jazz. But what I'm getting at is, when I was just figuring out and tampering with my gimmick, it took a bit. I wasn't really fond of just my first name or just my last name. So B-Train has been a childhood nickname of mine. Not to go full in bio about myself, but finding out who I was as a wrestling manager was kind of hell on earth because when I started out, the promoter said, we're going to teach you a lesson, you know, so you're heel, blah, 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 blah. You could say I got a slice of humble pie, but I also wanted to throw that pie back in the face. Long story short, I've always banged to the beat of my own drum in certain instances, okay? Not every instance, but certain. What was my first wrestling match like? Well, to tell you the truth, when you're roped into the main event with a world heavyweight champion from, I believe, I forget what it's called. They were a company that ran out of the small towns in Kansas, Wrestling Express, World Wrestling Express, something like that. It was interesting. I had no gimmick. I was managing a guy by the name of Hassan Payne. When you're going up against Trevor Murdoch, you tend to think, holy hell, this is the guy from WWE. What do I say? What do I do? How do I act? Look it up. Trevor Murdoch versus the Libyan Nightmare. I was actually involved in that match. It's on YouTube. When you're trying to identify who you are, that kind of gets skewed depending on what or who or whatever promoter is trying to promote you. So I guess you could say my interpretation of my first year managing, as I said, up and down, very, very up and down. It wasn't so much, hey, I want to do this, or hey, I want to do that. It was, this is what we see, this is what we envision. I even was a part of creative for a brief hiccup. When I left, it felt like somebody had lifted a weight off my shoulders. Is that what you're asking me? Okay. How did I feel after I left company or left wrestling in general? I don't think wrestling ever left my heart. I think that I think about every day going. I don't think that it was a big deal. So if to finish my answer before you start questioning a lot. Well, okay, to answer your question, wrestling is an addiction because when you go on the road with the boys, you see all the fans, you bring your suitcase in, you set it down, you go into the locker room. For me, I put on an eye black on the left eye. So that's not the point. Get to conversate with the people. It's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. Now, if you get the vibe that they don't know who the fuck you are, so you introduce yourself, and they still don't like you, well, that's on them, not on you. Oh, and here's another factor, guys. Why wrestling is addictive. It's the road trip fun that you have, and I had my fair share of both non-fun and fun roads, you know, road stories, so, jeez. Yeah, I knew that question was coming. Did I have any fun road stories with Jake? Well, it was fun making fun of his ass. I mean, it was, you know, he's easily rattled. So, I mean, yeah, there's good times and bad times, not going to lie. Yes, moving forward to discuss what I actually want to discuss with you all. Wrestling for me is perspective as a whole. Some wrestlers can be jackasses. There's a God-given fucking fact. And they know they can. They don't care. Managers, too. Referees, yeah. There's a lot of them. But is it anybody's business to sit there and say, oh, well, this wrestler is being a jackass, blah, 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 he's such a fucking prick. Behind closed doors, sure. I'm sure everybody has that moment. Oh, man, that fan was a complete nutter. He was a complete jackass. Man, he's a complete douche canoe. Or she, man. That fan was such a ring rat. You could smell the condoms in her pocket because she was heating up so bad. It's the shit you hear, dude. I'm not lying. If certain conversations start off with, man, how you doing? How far did you guys come from? Where did you come from? That's like, I've only been to, let's see, Minnesota, North Carolina, Cali, New York, and I would hear conversations like that. It's because when you're part of a family, a wrestling family, that can mean the world to an individual, or the individual can just be like, well, I'm just here to get my pay and I'm ready to go home. And for those of you that say you're not in it for the money, more power to you. Some of you who say that this is a hobby, that's the point where I wonder, why are you even involved in pro wrestling to fucking begin with? Because if you sit there and say, oh, I'm going to do this as a hobby, then why are you wrestling? Because some of you, I've seen some of you, you look like shit. I'm not referring to just one group of people, but some of the wrestling that I see, some people think that this shit doesn't, that it looks bad, or that doesn't look so bad, but when you actually take a look at the playback or the actual video, you say to yourself, holy crap, where did these guys, you know, where did they get training from, or where did they decide to do the move that they had no idea they were doing, but yet they decided to try it out anyways, and it looked like absolute and utter crap. Guess who pays the price for that? The fans. I've been to certain shows in Missouri in which I wish I had not, because the wrestling was absolutely terrible. Like I said, it's 2018. So why look to the past for validation? I mean, let's say, like I told you, you wanted my whole experience for through pro wrestling. It's still going. Believe it is still going. I bumped into people that promised me the sun, the moon, and the stars. Some, not all, some. Some have taken advantage. Some were actually there for me and actually gave a crap. So, how some say, well, you burned your bridges. You opened your mouth and you burned your bridges. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't give a fuck. Simply because I look at your career and I look at mine. Am I worried about what you're doing and how you're succeeding? No. I am more so worried about Brian Rahal's, wait, myself. Instead of peeking over my shoulder thinking every person that comes into my life in the world of wrestling is going to just stab me in the back or use me or manipulate me. In other words, if someone decides, okay, let's see what this cat can do on the mic, because mainly that's the manager's bread and butter, his promo, and to hype up his wrestler. Versus, you know, I've seen managers do this, versus a manager who only promotes himself and really doesn't give the talent any kind of breathing room whatsoever. So to be quite honest with you, my whole take on the pro wrestling business as a whole, there's some of you that I like and that I watch grow. It doesn't have to be just local where I used to work. I'm talking about people in Ring of Honor, Future of Honor, that I've seen. I can't give you specific names because I don't want to give you the curse, if you will. Well, you said I was worth it. How come I got injured, yada, yada, yada? I'm tired of that. It's only happened a couple of times where I've said, hey, man, you really got potential. You can really go far. Then, you know, personal shit comes up in the way, like family drama, bullshit, and all the in-betweens that come with pro wrestling. I remain friends with someone that I used to train with. Like I said in the prior show, Rocco, whether you like being mentioned more than once, I'm going to just tell you, I miss you, big guy. That's all I'm going to tell you. The rest of you, I'm still kind of iffy about, but like I told you, I'm moving forward. Because in 2017, that was a bit of a clusterfuck as far as figuring out how I'm going to let Wrestle Radio survive, how certain aspects of my personal life finally just fell into place. I finally got left alone. Until, I'm going to bring this up really quick. Until I got wind of someone that I used to be close with telling someone that's close with me that he thought I was going to return. And to be honest, dude, I'm not, I don't care. I'm cool. I honestly am a bit perturbed, though, because if you don't have the means of texting me and saying, are you coming back to the school? Are you going to be a part of the school again because we don't want you? I don't give a fuck. I have not given a fuck or two fucks or three or four or more about coming back. So please, when associating me with somebody, you should know I'm in a whole different state now, motherfucker. So here's what I got to tell you. I'm moving forward from this point after the fact that I got out, or after the fact that I get out how I feel. Because apparently the only way you fuckers seem to like hearing about yourselves is through my show. So now, please pay attention. Pro wrestling as a whole, from my perspective, there's good and bad. It's just like a job. There's good and bad. You have good customers, bad customers, and then in between customers who don't want to socialize. It's just like wrestling. You have good workers who actually can draw the crowd into their work. You have mediocre wrestlers who can kind of draw people in. They don't really sell much merchandise. They just are there for the fucking payoff. I don't care. Look at Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. I'll keep bringing them up because they said, Scott Hall said something very profound. Chief J. Strongbow told him a long time ago, you can either be here to make a lot of friends or you can do this to make a lot of money. I didn't do it for the money, yo. I did it because I enjoyed to hear the boos of the crowd. To hear a reaction, period. Not just booing. I mean, I got racial slurs thrown at me in Larned, Kansas. I got booed. Like I said, most of my career was local, so not well known. In Kansas for GPW, I got booed out the building. Simply because, I guess, you know, when I managed Sabre Black, I love her to death. It was a lot of fun, you know, just to hear the crowd react when I pulled Nikki Knight's leg. Not all managing pulling the leg, in my opinion. So getting a reaction from the crowd was what I lived for, man. Yeah, I didn't get a payday, but you know what my payday was in my head? Getting that reaction from that crowd and getting so much of a pop to where it made people think, my God, I gotta hate this guy, yada yada. That's what wrestling's supposed to feel like, in my opinion. Now, I'm sure a lot of workers are laughing their ass off, like, who is this babbling fool, and what the fuck is he talking about? I never heard of this guy. I'm a personality that if you get to know me, you'll either love me 100% or you'll hate me 100% tenfold. It's not my intention to be hated, but I'm just real honest with people on what I think of you. But in retrospect, I've learned that if you're honest with people, there's a difference. They either will respect you or they'll go behind your back and they'll talk mad shit. As I've mentioned in the prior episode that I did before, I call him Uncle Bob. Rhubarb Evans is a voice through which I listen to because he has major connections all around. And he ain't the only connection, but for me, his advice over the last year and a half, 2 years that I've been in contact with him has helped me a shit ton. It's easier just to sit back and say, yeah, I'm going to apply your advice. I'm going to apply your advice. It's hard. Yeah, but it's easier just to do. In the world of professional wrestling, there's a lot of guys who sit back and say, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to set my goals, and I'm going to achieve each goal. Some people write it down. Some people, well, want it all, but I don't have nothing at all, because it ain't easy, baby. I'm not going to sing the rest of the lyrics, but easy. If wrestling were easy, everyone would be doing it. Which brings me to my next point. Whenever you make a business partnership, whenever you say, hey, I'm going to start a podcast, or hey, I'm going to start a radio station, for the love of God, pick somebody that is worthwhile. It's not going to be easy, because trust me, folks, I've been through two people so far. I haven't fired Big Sham because he's busy, you know? It takes a lot for me to be the bigger person and walk away, but it's also going to be a boiling point. You drag on the issue, it's just going to get worse. You also, if you don't talk about it and address the elephant in the room, the issue is just going to never go away. So basically, what I'm going to tell my story is in 2016, I was severely depressed because of where I was at from a mental state of mind. And people will always try to point the finger and say, you did this to yourself. Yeah, because in ways I did, in ways I did not. So let me clarify that. I decided that after being fired from KCXW, that it was time for me to vocalize how I felt. And I'm not regretting what I said. I'm not going to take back what I said, because it's true. It was true. It still is in certain ways. And then somebody out of the woodwork found me and will always stake claim, I saved your life, I saved your life, you owe me one. I don't owe you shit, motherfucker. What you did was cause more rifts between me and said former friends. As I said, in pro wrestling, there is not such a thing as having it be a friendship business. There is such a thing, however, it's a business. As 2016 the timeline for good old B-Train looks like this. Message a lot of people, hey, would you like to be a guest on our show? It was just such a fucking blur, yo. So that aspect of pro wrestling, that side of the business for me was, okay, this is where I go out to pasture. Is this where managers go out to die? Is this where my career is going to be? And you know what? It turned out to be a fucking blessing. Why? Because I was able to have a platform. I was able to express how I felt. Now, some people say that I stole the lines off of CM Punk by saying dropping a pipe bomb. Well, there's been individuals that kind of were worthy of that. Kyle Eller, one. There's a few that I can list off, but I'm not going to go on down the list and be petty about that. So, why I expressed how I felt? Well, let's see. When you have a supposed friend, right, that pays attention, here's my theory on that. In the wrestling business, it's not just, well, it's not a friendship business, it's a business. Well, when someone infiltrates your circle and just uses you as kind of a resource to relay stuff back to the head honcho, as Kyle did, that's why I went off. And I did not appreciate what was done. So that side of my life, goodbye, go fuck yourself, I'm done. The side when Jake, you know, decides to tell me shit that I believe was, in my head, somewhat true, because somebody decided to steal Shoot Shout from, at the time it was called Tracks of Life, now it's called Off the Rails and Censored, which I do own the rights to. When people steal shit, it's not abnormal in the world of wrestling. It's called piggyback gimmicking. Meaning, if someone has a gimmick that's very, very receptive from an audience and it's not on a bigger scale than that person on the bigger scale steals it, guess what? 9 times out of 10, that person that's on the big scale showing gets more credit for it because it's, oh, it's original. Oh, it's never been done. Like I said, I'm not going to sweat about it. I'm not going to worry about it. However, then you fast forward into 2017. Still getting guest. Still the aspect of pro wrestling as a podcast host. I was beginning to get frustrated because 2017 was the year that I went to Royal Rumble. I went to everything. WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series. Do you know why I get irritated? When you go on a road trip with somebody and they don't contribute, or they don't contribute to paying for their share when it comes to the airplane, the ticket, what have you. What I'm getting at is 2017 was coming up and down year. That's kind of the exit of one Mr. Patty. What is the status on that? I'll tell you what it is. It sounds like a never-ending drama. It's going to fucking end. I'm done dealing with that shit. You know what makes me happier is when I don't have to deal with drama. I don't have to wait on somebody to show up to the fucking podcast that you owned for 8 years. You're late. Your tardiness wasn't the only bad habit. If I'm going to sit here and bring up things and reminisce about the bad, here's what I'm going to tell you. Telling me the day of that I have a guest, great. I guess that will prepare me later on if I ever get to the WWE. Hey, you have a guest on your show, blah, blah, blah. By the way, they're coming on right about now. All right, I guess I'll wing it. I wouldn't say that out loud, But I think in the back of my head, okay, well, this is a better, this is bigger, this is badder. What I was dealing with was, here's two guests. Here's what you're going to do. So, if you don't show up to the show and you're working behind the scenes to get in people, please get bigger names that aren't just big local. But can you please explain why the fuck I had a Groundhog Day every single time? It'd be literally the same people. You want to know why this is turned into a shoot and not a perspective segment? Because I told you in the last show, I'm pretty sure I kind of repeated myself. But I'm not done yet venting about what I went through. Okay, you drive when you come visit, and it's not your car, so you really shouldn't worry. You come and you visit. And you got to drive almost 45 minutes from your house to this, to Jake's house. That's time consuming as gas. Did you ask for the money up front? Most of you are asking me. I would, but I get the response, oh, I'll pay you back later. 2018, you owe me and a friend of mine my gas money because, even though my car is a Toyota Corolla, motherfucker, that takes up a lot of gas. Driving back and forth. And to NWL events, mind you. That takes up a lot of event. You know, a lot of event time. Or, not event time, but gas. Food-wise, you get stuff for your fat ass. That's great. I barely had any cash because, well, let's see. It was my decision to fly from LaGuardia to MCI because I have a friend who luckily works in the airlines. The point is, I felt like saying this because you claimed that last night, okay, can we still be boys? I'm not very fond of people who I feel have spoke ill about me behind my back. That's kind of like, well, not kind of like, it is like betraying my trust. When you work in the world of professional wrestling, you're going to deal with a lot of backstabbers. You're going to have to bite your tongue, and you're going to have to just basically try. To explain to me why I should just run back to you and start being friends all over again as if nothing happened. You can't expect me, you know, to basically, you've been talking to me for weeks upon weeks because I get it. You had a child. You know, she's your world. So I take second perch to that. I'm not pissed off about that. I am pissed off, however, that in the time that you had a child, you were going to make that as an excuse as to why you abandoned the show. And you're like, oh, I gave it to him. Let's clarify this one more time, and I'm going to repeat this so that the audience who didn't listen to the show before hears this. Jake Patty, you were fired. Let go. Relieved of your duties. You are no longer responsible for Wrestle Radio, and nor were you ever responsible for the creation of Off the Rails Uncensored, or previously known as B-Train's Tracks of Life. You want to take credit for every single thing. You want to play the one-upsman game when you're around my friend. Word to the wise, my friend, or should I say my acquaintance, I will be cordial with you. I will be cool with you. But in the back of my mind, whenever I'm around you, I don't trust you. I do not trust you. Not just because of the lies about Vince McMahon writing you a 2-page handwritten letter, not because we're going to WrestleMania and you kind of looked surprised when I bought the tickets. Okay. I was the one who got the hotel. I was the one who rented the car. So, folks, if you want to know what it's like on the business side of things from podcasts, make sure that you are setting yourself up for success instead of setting yourself up for half-ass failure. What am I talking about? When you do a podcast, it's from beginning to end. You want people to be engaged with what your product is. So in other words, you want to have a person who backs you 100%, who doesn't just sit on his ass and procrastinate and say, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that with the show, or I'm going to make the website, I'm going to develop the website. You never, ever trust somebody just based on their word. Ever. Until they show you screen proof, like a screenshot, or if it's already on Google or on a search engine, you're golden. But if it's somebody who is just out for, you know, their own use, oh yeah, we're going to do this. The common response that I would hear from Jake on a constant basis would be, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care, I don't know, dude, I'll talk to you about it later. Kidding about those responses is that you don't ever say the words, I don't care, in pro wrestling unless you're at your fucking wit's end with somebody and you honestly know they're not listening, so you say, I don't care. I am beyond upset by seeing the words on the screen on my phone saying, are we still boys? Nope, because as mad as I am, I know I'll get over this. I'm not going to, you know, forget. I can forgive you. 2018, why hold on to all the grudges? Let bygones be bygones. Okay, so tell me, Jake, who's the one saying shit behind my back at not only NWL, but at High Risk Wrestling or at Dynamo Pro? Because, as I said, my instincts tell me when I'm around certain guys, they just, if they get to talk to me, you knew that I have a natural way with people. You don't. Oh, yeah, certain people you do. You've known them longer. But forgive me if I'm upset because a child like yourself tells people one thing, and for some weird, strange reason, it registers in their mind that B-Train's a bad guy, B-Train's a bad guy. Now you know why I'm pissed. Because every time I have had to defend myself, I'm tired of doing that shit. And why? Most people will tell me, even Uncle Bob will say, well, why are you worried about what he says? You should be firm and secure of who you are. Now it's clear, folks, I am secure with who I am. Not because Uncle Bob said I should be, but because I have a roof over my head. Even though we didn't have any heat last night, I still have a place to stay. I have a job. I have a friend back in Kansas City. I have, well, certain friends. Okay. I love visiting my friends who actually care about good old B-Train. So I'm the realest motherfucker in the room. Yeah, some of you may say, well, that's stealing from Enzo. I don't care. I've got 19 minutes left to relay to you exactly how the fuck I feel about or how I see wrestling. There are some people who actually give a damn about what they do. I am one of them. You're just oh, I got bored, so I got to do this because I have a child and I need some form of release. Motherfucker, you do not like wrestling. You do not. You are very one-sided. Who am I referring to? Let me just think. You have said it yourself. You like wrestling, not just WWE. That's cool. There's a valued market in independent wrestling. Not everybody is into WWE. Not everybody is into independent wrestling. Some people like UFC. Some people like the NFL. They like the NBA. I don't care. As I told you, professional wrestling is and will always be my passion, aside from music. Number one, those two, music and wrestling. And also the occasional, you know, discussion of sports. But anyways, back to what I was saying, folks. In professional wrestling, you have a lot of areas that you're not aware of. It's not just, ooh, well, he botched that move, and oh, he always does the Northern Lights before he does his multiple kicks to the face. There's another area that I see in wrestling that bothers me. Well, that I see it can be good or bad. It's the fandom. If you've only watched NXT once, I'm not going to hold that against you. If you are the type of fan that thinks your shit doesn't stink, you can go fuck yourself. I'm not going to sit there and argue with somebody who believes they know the business and they haven't even gone to a wrestling school. They have not stepped foot in a ring. If you just observe and you say, well, I don't like the way this match turned out, I'll be cool with you. But if you sit there and use terminologies and you don't know the fucking business, nobody does. Nobody knows wrestling. For those people who did the justice of, I want to learn this aspect, I want to learn TV, I want to learn producing, I want to learn how to do, you know, production, I want to learn how to manage, I want to learn how to referee. Do you know how valuable that skill set is? Why, you could be used in NXT, you could be used in the main roster, you could be used in Ring of Honor. Do you know why? Delirious said it best. In order for you to be able to have a wide variety skill set, you must learn how to do shit from every freaking angle in the business. It could be refereeing. It could be, it could be anything. It really could. Because if you think before you do, you'll go far in the world of wrestling. Or you just know the ins and outs. See, because I've learned that you keep learning. Wrestling is a never-ending learning experience. For those of you who think, well, this is what the crowd likes, this is what the crowd. There's some people who are gifted like that. Like a good friend of mine. Now, am I partial to Kurt Gannon? You could say that, but before you judge, before you make assumption, before you say, why, he just likes him because he's a big old boy and he can protect him. No. Kurt has a good understanding of what to do and how to gauge the crowd and where, you know, he can improve upon. I always give him shit. I go, well, we are our own worst critics. The beauty part about what he and others who have this innate ability to gauge, not only gauge the crowd, but reach their fans, it's the understanding that you have to keep constantly evolving your character. If you stay the same, what is the point of being involved in pro wrestling, period. I've noticed that. But am I going to point that out to someone in New Breed Wrestling, or am I going to point that out to someone in High Risk or Evolve or Wrestling Revolver or Ring of Honor? No, because it's not my place. I can say I didn't like the match. I just didn't like the way it was structured. I'm allowed to say that as a fucking fan. I notice when wrestlers hear fans talk about their match, fans kind of tend to make the mistake that they're on the level of the wrestler. That's where you draw the line and say, no, these are the trained professionals. They are the ones that go to the wrestling school. They train every day. They look good. They work hard. But the fans would say, I just didn't like the way your match went. You know, it could have been better. How could it have been better? You know, how, add specifics to it. Like, when you guys did the double down, blah, 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 blah. Again, you're adding terminology so that you're traipsing onto a wrestler's territory. So when you guys wrote down and someone made the hot tag, I felt that it was very boring that you did clothesline again. Again, I know it's using terminology, but I'm just giving the best example I can. In other words, change is good in wrestling. Change is good if you move. Change is good, period. In life, you're going to be faced with a lot of hardships. Not all sunshines and daisies. I said that line a million times, and I'm going to stick with it. If you believe that wrestling can benefit you, help you, make you a better person, great. What I've seen wrestling can do is it can either be a real work, real piece of work, that is, or it can be a learning experience. Which one did I choose? Well, knowing me, I always tend to be a hard-head, stubborn ass, so I chose, hey, let's make it a learning experience. 2 years is barely putting your foot in the, through the door in wrestling. 2 years, yeah, 2 years that I actually was consistent with it, because it's been off and on for 9 years. Like a light switch. Oh, yeah, it's cool. Let's do it again. Oh, yeah, it's cool. Let's try it. Let's try this. Let's try this thing called wrestling. And then, you know, you come to the realization, okay, maybe it's better as a spectator. I guess, like I told you, I feel the Enzo Amore vibe going through. Most people don't realize this. Like Enzo, I'm a good businessman. Because why? I'll get you merch sales. I'll get you attention, good or bad. But unlike Enzo, I know when to shut my mouth. He's great with kids. He, you know, sells merchandise. And I'll use him as an example. For promotion, it's when he gets on the mic, my name is Enzo Amore, and I am a certified G and a bona fide stud. And you can't teach that. Bada boom, realest guy in the room. How you doing? That little tagline that has gotten kind of annoying, well, it may be annoying to 80% of the WWE Universe and wrestling fans around, but the 20% that says he's not annoying is buying his merchandise and citing every word he says. So whether you like to admit it or not, he's a marketing ploy. He's marketing. He's a brand, if you will. I, Brian Wales, am my own brand. But I don't go around with a leopard skin microphone and acting like a jackass. I don't care if you just said shots fired. He knows this. Enzo knows this, but you know what? I do believe most of you forget that in pro wrestling, you have to, like I said at the beginning of the segment, you have to have some form of ego, a sense of identity, if you will. I established my identity even better on this thing that I call Blog Talk Radio. I'm able to convey my feelings. I'm able to relay to the audience that's listening how I feel. Because if you're not real with your audience, how do you expect to get the message across? New Day, they kind of are. They kind of aren't. They're not cookie cutter because they'll find ways to put expletives in their promos. In Ring of Honor, you've got Cody Rhodes, Marty Scurll, and the Young Bucks. They're not ceasing or desisting. So, case in point, they're connecting with their audience. They're making themselves heard. Cody Rhodes being involved with the Bullet Club, that's huge. Chris Jericho versus Kenny Omega. How did they make the match be the best in the world? Chris Jericho is a genius. So is Kenny Omega. They've got egos. But is that a bad thing? No. Am I trying to justify me being a loudmouth and honest with my opinions? Yeah, because here's what it is, folks. If you can't take criticism, if you can't understand certain concepts and how things work in the world of pro wrestling, the door is wherever it is, and don't let it hit you on the ass on the way out. I've seen a lot of guys come into the business and say, yeah, I did this because it was a lot of fun. And I've spoken with some of the people that are involved in this business. They're not ashamed of who they are. Why would they be? Because you got to just figure out, okay, if I'm going to make a living off of pro wrestling, it's not just in one aspect. There's billions of promotions. It's like Uncle Bob says, you have to find a way to get yourself to the venue. Get yourself to the venue on time. Help set up the ring. Help the security, whatever you have to do. Because then the promoter goes, oh, okay, well, maybe I should invite this guy. He really showed me something. You never know. That's why Uncle Bob has a lot of gigs or a lot of appearances, if you will. It's not because, oh my God, that's Boodle Bob Evans. It's because he's willing to serve the business before anything else. And I finally get it. I'm starting to finally get what he's saying. I can vent out my frustrations. I'm not going to spend my entire podcast career doing so, okay? Because there's a greater purpose for everyone in the wrestling business. And some of you may be laughing, well, why is this guy even trying? He's just a podcaster. He's just a fucking mark in his mother's basement. I don't live in a basement, motherfucker. I live in the roommate by the name of, who also happens to be the technician of the show. There comes a point in time, folks, and I'm just going to touch on this briefly for the last time. Whenever you say you're going to be friends with somebody, be willing to share the spotlight, okay? Be willing to also make sure that the person you're sharing the spotlight with isn't the backstabbing asshole. Some may ask, well, where is this coming from? I never saw any proof. I guarantee you, if I grab Jake's phone like a psychopath and look through messages, I'm pretty sure I will find messages between he and other members of various wrestling places that he said ill things about. So you can imagine how angry I am when this is the guy that claims he drug me out from obscurity. Let me look up the definition of obscurity, because I'm pretty sure I can find out exactly what that means. Okay. Obscurity. The stated quality of being obscene, obscene behavior, language, or images. Oh, that's obscenity. Thanks a lot, Vinny. Okay. The state of being unknown, inconspicuous, or unimportant. The quality of being difficult to understand, or a thing that is unclear, difficult to understand. Well, the quality of being difficult to understand, that's exactly what I felt. I guarantee you that if I am ever in the presence of someone who does that to me while I'm in a vulnerable state of mind, I'll just say this nicely. If I don't like you or if I don't trust you, I ain't gonna be happy. And I'm just gonna walk away. That's the easiest part. You know what? I've learned about, if I don't trust you, why worry? Because I'm not gonna put you on a fucking roasting pedestal that I basically put Jake on. Jeez Louise, you learn some things now in a day, kids. I am B Train from Off the Rails Uncensored Part 2. Part 1 and Part 2 to come next week with Off the Rails Uncensored, all topics concerning creative. The 1 minute warning, of course, 60 seconds. Part 1, Off the Rails Uncensored, will feature a review of SmackDown Live and anything wrestling news related. Part 2 will basically be a continuation of Off the Rails Uncensored and also a review of NXT on Wednesday nights. All right, folks, get ready for Royal Rumble in 2 weeks and also the 25th edition of Monday Night Raw. That is all. I am B Train from Off the Rails Uncensored. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of something I would be. Cult of personality.